Welcome to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO. This is Dynamic Health. We're doing a special fundraiser right now, and my name is Reginald Angus Argue. I'm going to be archiving this on my website of angus-mcleod.com, McLeod spelled M-C-L-E-O-D. And I also have Wayne Pronte here, and he's going to be archiving on his website, and I'll let him talk about his website in just a second. But I'd just like to remind people right now that this is a fundraiser, and anyone out there listening who wishes to become a member, we are a community-based radio station. We're not sponsored by the corporations. We're the alternative voice for Vancouver, and we really need help from our listening audience to join and just pledge and become a member. And the number to call is 604-684-8494. And also we have our guest who's on the line right now with us. And our guest has been researching and commenting on hidden facts overlooked and often purposely ignored by the mainstream media for 20 years. Our guest is Dr. Ott. Hello, Doctor.
Hello, Mr. Argue. How are you doing today?
Great. It's great to finally be able to talk to you. I do apologize about Monday, but I have gone through similar circumstances what you've went through, and I see that the Mormon Mafia didn't want to let that conversation go between you and I.
It could very well be. I don't know what was responsible, but I was sitting there waiting for the call, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, our
lines went completely crazy.
Our calling card was redirected this afternoon, and we do apologize about asking you to phone in. Also, could you quickly tell us a little bit about your organization and the fact that your organization website is now under attack?
Well, yes, I have a number of different websites. We have the labvirus.com website, ladies and gentlemen. We also have www.pandemicfluonline.com as well. And we started these websites just as kind of a clearinghouse of information that has been absolutely, completely ignored by the mainstream media. Where is journalism these days? It's just not existent. There's a Pulitzer Prize waiting to be won on this story, but nobody wants to touch it. It's very, very unfortunate.
And what happened to your website recently that it's been hacked?
Well, my business website, my for-profit company is Mother Earth Minerals, and my website is www.meminerals.com. Well, that website was hacked and put into a situation where anybody that wanted to order product received a message that they had an antiviral program, that they would be downloading a very nasty virus, and those that did not have virus protection received a virus. And so you can imagine what that has done to my business. And we've fixed it a number of times. In fact, we have the gentleman that designed his website is also a skilled, multi-year expert in this field, of course. And he knows the sophistication of this hack was beyond anything he'd ever seen before. But, you know, we don't like to focus on the negative. It's happening. It just shows that we do have information that they the shadow government of this world, this planet, does not want to get out.
And one of the things that you're doing at this time, which I really stand up and I'd like to basically clap my hands for you, because you're a very brave individual for doing this. I know there's a team that you're involved with that's doing this. You filed a court injunction in United States District Court, Northern District of Utah, Ogden Division, against the United States Department of Health and Human Services. Could you share a little bit about this to our listening audience?
Well, yes, we started out with this to try and stop the threat of mandatory or forced vaccinations. As we were doing this, and the team is basically myself, Mr. Drew Raines down in Arkansas. We have Dr. Bill Deagle in San Diego. We have Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and many others. We were basically, the wind was taken out of the sails when the powers that be in Washington, Catherine Sebelius and others declared publicly there would never be a mandatory vaccine. And President Obama came out and said that we would highly recommend people to take this, but we'll never be forced to take this. Now, with that, there's no need to file an injunction or to win an injunction because they've publicly declared there will not be. Now, that remains to be seen. You know, the president has made a lot of promises that are nothing but words. And so we don't believe that for a minute. We think it's just a ruse. The fact that he declared last Friday a national emergency shows that this is much, much deeper and bigger than he would let on. Go ahead.
I do apologize there, Doctor. It's amazing that his children, who he wasn't going to allow to get vaccinated, apparently as of October 27th, he has subjected his children to the vaccination.
Well, I don't believe that it's the same one, okay? What's come out of Germany, ladies and gentlemen, is they've verified there that there was a different vaccine for government officials, high-level government officials, and brass in the military. But the average German citizen gets a much more dangerous version of the vaccine. So I think when he made those statements, the press secretary made that statement, he had to save face. And so for as far as we know, it could just be a saline solution. Okay.
And what is actually in the childhood vaccines? What are their ingredients? I know there's squalene, mercury. What are the other ingredients that's in these vaccines?
Well, the intramuscular vaccine that is primarily put out by Novartis, which has a worldwide patent on this particular vaccine, the information that is in the product circular is notably, markedly remiss in any of the ingredients, which is amazing. So we have reports from the World Health Organization. For instance, they recommended that live viruses can be included in this intramuscular injection, as well as oil and water adjuvant called squalene. Now, as to having that actually in the shot itself, the circular, which is supposed to give a full accounting of all the ingredients, is not showing this. So we're left to wonder and to question. I've demanded in my home state of Utah, the health department, when this intramuscular vaccine becomes available, that we are allowed to do a full analysis of it, independent analysis, not done by any government lab, but an independent private analysis. I'm still waiting for that request to be approved. I doubt it ever will. Okay?
And also, there's a gentleman out of California who has a nonprofit organization. His name is Jock Doubleday. And actually, he's said to the pharmaceutical companies, the CEOs, anyone, doctor who's involved with pushing these vaccines, he said, I'll give you $250,000 if you drink a cup full of these additives. And not one doctor, one CEO, or anyone involved with these vaccines has even taken this gentleman up on his offer.
Of course not. This is a toxic brew, most definitely. And, the way I see it, and this is all verifiable, what I'm going to say now, nothing is exaggerated. The company MedImmune that produces the Flu Mist product actually has a patent for the virus itself. They've actually patented the virus. Now, here is a product, a nasal spray, that in its product circular, which was released on September 10th, it warns the healthcare practitioner and advises that they should make public that anybody that takes this vaccine is a carrier of this patented virus, and it actually can cause other people that come in contact with the vaccinated person to become infected. Now, we have this being released on the, in large scale in America. I'm not sure about Canada, but I would believe it's the same in your provinces. This first wave of vaccine is this flu mist, this spray. I submit this will cause the very pandemic to be reality. As of the middle of September, ladies and gentlemen, there is no massive pandemic. We have a college football team in Utah, the Brigham Young University Cougars, made a big public display about the whole team being vaccinated ahead of time, pre-vaccinated because of the travel and the workout schedules. That was done in August before their first football game against number 3 ranked Oklahoma. Now, just last weekend, the BYU Cougars were beaten by a Texas Christian football team and were trounced. And the report from the locker room came, well, what do you expect? Half of our team is sick from the swine flu. They're not doing well. They're very, very sick. And we didn't perform well because of that. So you see what this is. What I'm saying is the vaccine, first of all, in the case of this this football team, didn't give them the protection, and it very likely caused them to have the virus rage in their bodies to the point where they became sick now. And make no mistake, this is what's happening with this MedImmune nasal spray. It could it can germinate. It takes a month to 2 months to blossom, but make no mistake, this is what's going to cause this pandemic to occur.
And I'd like to quickly share there, Doctor. This is from CBS News, quoting an article that the swine flu case is overestimated. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, and Britain's National Health Service, once you have H1N1 flu, you're immune from future outbreaks of the same virus. So, you know, Doctor, you probably had people ask you this question. Why is it that our mainstream media are saying, you know, once you get the disease, you should go out and get vaccinated? Aren't they able to think for themselves and realize that they're already immune from it?
Well, at least here in Utah, the health department sent out a press release, which was parroted and picked up by all of the major newspapers in Utah, on that very subject. They said even though you've been diagnosed with the swine flu, you still need a vaccine. The reason being is simply because the diagnosis was spurious, was false. They were clumping everything from seasonal allergies to rhinoviruses to you name it, into diagnosis of the swine flu for the very reason to give a false impression that this thing is worse than it is. Okay? We have quite a bit of summer flu here in Utah and across, ranging from an upper respiratory infection to sinus infections. It's typical in Utah and many states and even in Canada, I would dare say, right? So here we have these healthcare practitioners told by the Centers for Disease Control and Health and Human Services in these monthly and weekly updates to diagnose everything that has a symptom of a sore throat, bronchial irritation, and or fever as the swine flu without taking blood tests, without taking sputum samples, without any lab tests whatsoever. And that's the reality. So the CDC and the CBS News reports that you just mentioned, absolutely. They're way overinflated. Absolutely. There's no reason for a mass vaccination campaign. There's no reason for a national emergency in the United States other than they want to create the situation.
And also, Dr. Ott, I'm going to have Molly's going to ask you a question, and then we're going to have Wayne jump in right after that. Go ahead, Molly.
Hello, Dr. Ott. Welcome to Dynamic Health. And I'm just cutting in. I've been listening. I just wanted to let you know that on our mainstream media this morning, there was report of a bacteria partnered with the swine flu creates a far more fatal effect than that the 77 patients who died of the pandemic, quote unquote, also showed that 30% of them had a bacterial co-infection that made it far more deadly. And what do you have to say on that news?
Well, just that if you look at the statistics of deaths, and especially in Utah, which is the second largest case of mortality in besides New York State in America, you find that every single one had, in fact, a secondary problem, whether it was bacterial, whether it was MRSA structure, whether it was a chronic condition of either emphysema or asthma or diabetes. They all had this underlying problem, okay? There is not, in my research, been anybody that's strong and healthy and with no underlying health problems. When they've contracted this and been diagnosed, it's typically a 72-hour thing. They're sick for 3 or 4 days, and they're back in full strength after that. So,
well, that's reassuring, very reassuring to hear. However, a lot of people have had a history of streptococcus or a staph infection, and are and we're dealing with a mainstream population who's genuinely worried, and people are fearful. Especially people with children. So what do you recommend? I just recommend people educate themselves and listen and compare information, as we do here on Vancouver Co-op Radio. But I'm just, when you do your research and you base your decisions on exactly what you find because you're in a lab doing it, how can people find information that they trust? And then not, because I'm just relating to the parents in my circles that say, well, you know, we don't want to make this worse. And even if it isn't a big deal, well, we don't want to make it worse. Maybe it's better to vaccinate. Err on the side of caution. And
the first advice is the vaccine is not the answer. It's the prescribed, of course, answer by the mainstream, but it in fact will be causing more problems by far than this lab virus that was created and released. Now, to understand what I'm talking about, there's a number of publications that actually admit, and these are governmental publications, by the way, that admit that the U.S. Army's research laboratory at Fort Detrick had in fact successfully recreated as many as 7 what they call 1918-like influenza viruses. They're called resurrected pandemic viruses. Now, the 1918 killer virus, it in and of itself wasn't a problem. We found and traced this back to a typhus fever vaccine that was contaminated with these viruses. Now, back in that era, viruses weren't even known. They weren't discovered. It was all thought to be bacterial in origin. Okay, but now we know what killed these people. The virus caused what's called an immune response, it's called a cytokine storm. Now, when the human body starts to respond to an invading pathogen, the white blood cells, the killer T cells, all begin to go into hyperdrive. And what happened in 1918, the cytokine storm caused a massive swelling of the lung tissue, the bronchial tubes, and that became so swelled that they burst and hemorrhaged, and people died from the fluid that was in the lungs. They basically choked on their own fluids. Now, that needs to be brought forward today. If you've got a vaccine that is designed to increase, to create a massive immune response by means of a boosted adjuvant, you're having you're taking a real roll of the dice that you're going to cause more of a problem than the virus itself would ever provide, okay? The body's natural immune system is a miracle of nature. The high fevers that come with that are typically not to be feared, but to be embraced. That's how the body does things naturally, okay? In society now, we seem to want a quick fix for everything. But even a weaponized lab-created virus like this H1N1, so-called, the body's immune system will handle it just fine, okay? Increase vitamin C dosages. What vitamin C does is it helps strengthen the cellular membranes of your mucous membranes that will allow them to be safe from viral infection. Vitamin C does not kill a virus, it just increases your body's immune response to the virus. And drink plenty of liquids and, sit back, and if you get sick, just take it easy, rest, and let it take its course. It's not a deadly virus now by any stretch of the imagination.
And the question I have for you, Doctor, myself and a few of us who are Canadian Armed Forces veterans, we've been loaded with all these different vaccines when we're in the military. I was just talking to someone the other day who's running the Canadian Oath Keeper, and even he's seen side effects. How is it that we're able to rebuild our body and basically correct what's been done to us because of these vaccines? Because now I'm suffering from asthma, breathing at 74% capability. I have basically my parts of my body that have been shutting down. I was in the hospital in 2003, almost passed away down in the United States, and the list goes on and on.
Well, back in the 1920s, an amazing breakthrough by a PhD research chemist and a medical doctor by the name of William Frederick Koch, that's spelled K-O-C-H, working Detroit, Michigan, came up with an oxygen treatment and therapy that's just phenomenal. Now, the medical establishment saw the value and the worth of this and began to immediately blackball it, to shut him down, and actually try to get him arrested, and more successfully so. But if you go to the website, William F. Koch, I'm sorry. It's www.WilliamFKoch.com. You can read all about this amazing story and this amazing man. This website is run and hosted by his sons and grandsons, okay?
Well, thank you.
What you have to remember is, the clues he left in his papers. Individuals have recreated that process, the oxygen treatment and therapy drops. You can get some of this information by, there's a website called restandrepair.tv. Restandrepair.tv is the website. Look on the oxygen treatment and therapy there, and if you have any questions, give them a call down there. They'll explain how it's working. Oxygen is called nascent or singlet oxygen that's created a natural chemistry reaction in the cell, which just really does amazing things with cells that have been affected and toxic from heavy metals. If you've been hit with this and problem vaccines before, most definitely you need to get oxygen into the cells, into the lungs, and into the bloodstream. And oxygen is life. Without oxygen, you just can't do much.
Well, thank you, Doctor. I'm going to hand the mic over to a gentleman that I was telling you about, and I do hope that you're able to have him on your show. It's Wayne, and he's from the local website called False Flag Flu and Vaccine Agenda News. Go ahead, Wayne.
Oh, thanks, Rich, and good afternoon, Dr. Ott. It's Wayne Pronte, falseflagflu.com.
Yes, Wayne. How are you?
Oh, very good. I've been following your work for a number of years, and especially since the outbreak began pardon me, back in, I believe it was in March, you're working closely together with Dr. Deagle and appearing almost daily on his show at that time, along with Alexander S. Jones and a number of other distinguished researchers. And at that time, shortly after the outbreak happened, now Alexander S. Jones, of course, is a NIH whistleblower. And I'm just wondering if you could just encapsulate for the audience some of the evidence that you gentlemen have been able to put together that show that this virus did not happen naturally.
Well, yes, thank you. A lot of this the supporting documents are found at the website www.labvirus.com. Alexander Jones and myself were in contact with foreign labs that were able to analyze the gene clade structures of this recombinant triple reassorted virus, and we actually have in fact posted that research. The fact that these gene clades came together and the sequence in which they're done show an absolutely abnormal, totally unnatural structure, which in any court of law would be shown that this has to only occur through the genome projects of DNA manipulation. You have to break these DNA chains off. You have to cut the natural firewalls that are on these gene structures, and then basically put them into a Frankenstein virus. Man-made creation. That's exactly what's happened. Now, we also show this on that front. We also now have evidence of who let this go. Three vials were taken out of the weapons inventory at Fort Detrick on April the 16th. Were taken by this individual under direct orders from the State Department and taken into Mexico, and there it was released. Now, we have got this information out, ladies and gentlemen. We are looking for criminal indictments to be issued. We are looking for this to be the rule of law to be exercised. This is a biological weapons attack. There's no doubt about it. We also have the evidence of the 1969 inventory of Fort Detrick that they actually had created and weaponized a bird flu virus that was very lethal. That's in the inventory and list of 1969. So this is nothing really new. It's just that there's some individuals tied to George Soros and the derivatives king and the and there's some very sick individuals that really want the United States to be hurt in a major way, financially and otherwise. There's an agenda that is just not in the best interest of the small people. That's the best I could say it.
Yeah. Now you had also, pardon me, you were on the case of the bird flu scare the last number of years that they were telling us every fall that the bird flu is going to get us, the bird flu is going to get us, and you put out a documentary about that late last year, I believe, which is on YouTube. Maybe you could just tell us about that.
Well, actually, I recorded that back in June and into July of 2008. I knew the crescendo of rhetoric and the propaganda being spewed about the bird flu. I needed to expose it. Okay, the bird flu story, as I can just remind the listeners, was told that we were back in 2005. Mr. Navarro, the United Nations, made the declaration that the world was due for a new killer pandemic, and he targeted the bird flu. Well, the H5N1, as I show in my research, has always been with us. It's indigenous to the bird population, just like there's different parvoviruses that affect dogs but don't affect humans. It's the same with the H5N1 version of the influenza virus. The only way it can really jump species and become deadly to humans is, again, by laboratory intervention, as what was done in the 1960s in weapons labs. Okay? I know that to be true. The evidence and documents to prove this is undeniable. Any reasonable person would read this and research it and would come to the same conclusion. So you see, to declare a worldwide bird flu pandemic, there has to be collusion with biological weapons laboratories. That is the story that I've exposed. It's the truth. Now, suddenly we have, they have their virus, their H1N1, which also has H5N1 components in it, ladies and gentlemen, and H3N2, human flu as well. Now that they have their worldwide pandemic, you don't hear any more about the bird flu, do you? You don't have, here in Utah, on the Great Salt Lake hunting marshes, the last 4 years they have had all of these H5N1 bird flu monitoring stations to monitor the wild bird population. When hunters harvest these ducks, all of these lab technicians are there to take samples. Well, not this year. There's no more talk at all about H5N1. It's a non-issue, you see, which showed it was all a false flag to begin with.
And I'd like to remind our listening audience, you're listening to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM CFRO. This is Dynamic Health, and we're doing a fundraiser right now. So again, we ask our listening audience, if you're able to call in and pledge and become a member, you're able to keep this station going, where we have alternative voices like Dr. Ott, Wayne, and many others come in here as guests and educate the listeners. That's the most important thing right now, was the mainstream media is shutting down so much of the truth out there and giving us nothing more than propaganda. So if you're able to call in and you want to pledge, become a member, the phone number is 604-684-8494. And Dr. Ott, I have a quick question for you before I hand it back over to Wayne. 1974, Henry Kissinger came up with a memo. Now, how does it, which basically tied into smallpox and AIDS and numerous other things in the United States and also over in Africa, what I'd like to know, how does this experimental vaccine tie into Mr. Kissinger, into the effects towards the Native American females and the Afro-American females?
Well, the memo you refer to is the National Security memo, NSSM-200 is what it's called. I've read that. It's issued in 1974. It basically calls for a major reduction in the world's population. Now, we look behind the curtain of the Obama administration, and we see that Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski are the main movers and shakers behind the presidency. It's reported on many mainstream media that Kissinger and Brzezinski are the main policy advisors for Obama at this point. So why would we be surprised that a population reduction agenda would not be again reintroduced, this time covertly? I published a paper last month showing the similarities between this Novartis vaccine with adjuvants with the patented vaccine that causes animals to be sterilized, both male and female. The similarities to me as a scientist are stunning. I submit that this is primarily a covert weapon to cause sterility among certain targeted populations.
Okay, I'll jump back in at this time, at this point again. It's Wayne. Let's go back again to the very beginning of this thing. The outbreak began in Mexico, which was peculiar in and of itself. There in the springtime. As I understand it, these sorts of influenza viruses generally break out in Asia.
Well, yes, and again, it goes back to what I also mentioned. We have the testimony of the individual involved now, that he's telling the media, the alternative media at least, that he went to the inventory at Fort Detrick and took three vials of this weaponized 1918-like virus, and that's what they took on the 16th to Mexico. That's when the president went and met with the president of Mexico on a very quick, unscheduled trip. And from there, he testifies that that's how it was released. So we have a weaponized virus and an attack being absolutely premeditated.
And did you see anything peculiar about the response from the WHO to this outbreak and how rapidly they moved?
Well, yes. Again, it goes back to Dr. Margaret Chan is just merely doing what she's told. The Club of Rome is in charge of that organization. I've said this many times back in June. I say it again now. By any stretch of the imagination, there is no reason for a level 6 to be declared. There is nowhere near the level of virulence of this vaccine. There's nowhere near the level of worldwide deaths that needed to justify a level 6. The World Health Organization, if you remember, said that it's the projections that they feared, the computer models that they predicted 100,000 deaths in the southern hemisphere countries of Venezuela, Brazil, Argentina, going into Australia. The fact is, and the reports in September around Labor Day, are that the southern hemispheres had some of the mildest flu seasons on record. This projected many hundreds of thousands of deaths did not occur. Thus, the prudent thing would be to scale back the level 6 pandemic warning back to level 2 or 3, but it didn't happen.
Dr. Ott, just observing that this does a lot to a population, this perceived threat of a flu actually makes people fearful and not congregate. I think that's another interesting side effect of this kind of extreme. It's not Orwellian, but I keep thinking it's kind of this strange Orwellian reaction that people aren't so keen to hug and shake hands. And do you see that where you are?
Oh, yes. In fact, there's been many newspaper articles telling the people that, you know, not to shake hands. In fact, there's a public relations campaign called the Flu Fighters. Be a flu fighter. Wash your hands. Use the sanitizing. Do not touch people's hands if you can. Wear a mask. I mean, yeah, it's unbelievable, the fear-mongering going on here. People aren't looking at this at all logically. Not at all.
I'm just going to leave, and I just wanted to thank you and thank Reg, reminding people that this is a cooperatively run radio station. We share door handles, and we share microphones, and we're all alive and well here in Vancouver. And the number to call to donate and keep us on the air is 604-684-8494. And I want to give a shout out to All Art, who was normally a fantastic host of Dynamic Health, and I regret that she's not here part of this interview. And keep listening to 102.7 FM, www.coopradio.org. Thank you, Dr. Ott. Keep up the good
Thank
work.
Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to pick up where we left off there. Now, the WHO declared on June 11th, 2009, I call it Swine 11, they went to pandemic level 6, which basically they're mandating mandatory vaccinations worldwide under the international health regulations. But I think a lot of people don't know is that they actually changed their level structure, how they characterize various pandemics back in, I believe it was 2005, following the SARS outbreak in Canada. Just wondering if you want to speak to that.
Well, yeah, it's a constantly mutating structure. Okay, it just seems like whatever is politically expedient to do, they will do. And that, again, it goes back to what I just said, that by their own definitions, there is not a pandemic level 6 worldwide. So why keep that in place? It's like the price of gas. You know, it's real easy to raise the price, but my golly, it's really very slow to lower.
And I'm wondering, Doctor, if we could quickly talk about how the vaccines are created. I heard a story that the way the vaccines are grown in eggs, they're injected into an egg and then grown, and what there's a new technology out there that can help grow the vaccines even quicker called cell. They manipulate the cells. Could you talk a little bit about that and what the dangers are of going into this new technology?
Well, yeah, the propaganda that's put out by the Centers for Disease Control in America, Fauci and the rest of them are wanting the world to believe this is the same type of process in the vaccine production as the seasonal flu vaccine, which is basically utilizing a chicken egg and the egg cells to basically incubate these viral pathogens, and then they basically take them out of the egg and inject formaldehyde and other agents like thimerosal to basically kill the virus but keep it intact. Okay, so it's not a live virus anymore. It's been deadened, but the antigen structure will be what causes the immune system to guard against the invading live virus. Okay, that's the basic premise of how seasonal vaccines are produced. Here's the problem with that: the worldwide process of creating a seasonal flu vaccine actually begins for the following season begins in December and January of the flu season for the next year's production. It's a 9 to 10 month process in the best of worlds, ladies and gentlemen. So, to do the math, we're told in September, Fauci, CDC, and the WHO says, oh, this is all egg-based. Wait a minute. This is September. 9 months in the best world scenario means this thing had to be started in January. Well, this outbreak didn't even occur and reported until April. That doesn't make sense. So what I've been saying is, well, the egg-based production is not, it's propaganda, it's outright lies. The truth is, this is a genetically modified organism, this virus. It's going to be produced by in insect cultures, okay, and introduced in the body by a small fraction of the live virus itself with a strong adjuvant. That's the fast track way to make a vaccine. But the problem is, it's unsafe. Likely, it's unsafe. It's untested and untried.
And what are some of the side effects, health-wise, that people are going to be facing long-term, let's say 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, if they take this new stuff that you're talking about?
Well, the oil and water squalene is, when it's put inside the bloodstream by an intramuscular injection, will not really typically cause a mass reaction all at once. It'll begin to stimulate the immune system along and the central nervous system to begin to attack itself. That's what creates what's called the Guillain-Barré syndrome. Also, multiple sclerosis is basically an overactive immune system attacking itself. This is what I believe will happen. This is the structure of how the sterilization vaccines work, by theory and by absolute proven now by many thousands of case histories. The immune system becomes immunosuppressant on the hormone structures of the body. In male, the testes, it basically stops the sperm production, cold, and in females, the egg production stopped cold as well. I believe this is what will happen. It won't be readily apparent that this has occurred until a year later, when suddenly there'll be headlines, people having a worldwide epidemic of sterility. Wonder what this, what made this happen? Well, it's this vaccine, ladies and gentlemen. To me, there's no doubt of it.
Okay, so on the face of it, then, even the seasonal flu shot, it's a fraud. They don't know what virus is going to be happening every year, and there's no way that they could have prepared for this virus in advance, unless, of course, they knew what it was. There's no way that they could have a vaccine that would work, assuming that vaccines work, period.
It's illogical on its face, totally illogical, because you're talking about a worldwide vaccine. You're talking 6 billion inhabitants of this planet. How fast can you produce an egg-based vaccine to cover every country in this globe? The 200 and plus member nations of the UN, the 194 signatories to the international health regulations. You're talking about at least 5 billion people under that umbrella alone. How are you going to produce that many egg-based vaccines to cover it? You can't. It's not possible.
Right. Okay. And I've just found out in an article last week that they had actually started shipping the vaccines quite a while ago, because fire departments in Canada, and I would assume the same would be true in the States, have been stockpiled with these vaccines in advance, even though it was not officially released until this week in Canada.
Exactly. The Novartis vaccine was actually issued in 2008, and they began production for this specific recombinant, reassorted virus. It's in the patent, and it also goes back to the exact structure of the MedImmune patent. So you have MedImmune here in the States. They're located in Gaithersburg, Maryland, right by Fort Detrick in Maryland. You have all of these people working together in collusion. I'm telling you, it's absolutely genocidal and criminal what's happening.
Right, and you mentioned earlier that they had began with the flu mist vaccine in the United States, so I believe three or four weeks ago. We hadn't had any vaccination or vaccines released until this week here in Canada. So it's kind of interesting now that they're saying that the cases are mounting in the United States, where the evidence is actually the opposite. Here, they're trying to make us believe that as well. We had a case, I believe it was Monday morning, it was reported that a 13-year-old boy in Toronto had collapsed and died shortly after an ice hockey practice. And, of course, they jumped on that immediately and tried to say that this was H1N1. And yet, when I looked at the various articles that were being reported that day, a number of the symptoms that young boy displayed, and, of course, my sympathies are with him and his family, are those that would be common with meningitis. Have you seen any of those sorts of cases?
Well, again, yes. Every year here in the States, we have people collapsing after working out, and either in football, not so much in the hockey, but just sports as a whole. We have it every year. But just like you just said, they're blaming this on the everything they can is this H1N1 flu. It's just not. It's not true. It's false lies and propaganda, flat out.
Right, and it seems to me that, I mean, this is the ultimate agenda behind this, is to implement mandatory vaccinations. That's what I've been saying all along, that this is probably coming, as well as here in Canada. Now, we've seen, I've just got a report that came out yesterday from the Ukraine. They're doing mandatory vaccinations there. The people are up in arms about it. We've got people in China. They're doing a mandatory thing there, but 54% of the people there are against it. We've got 82% of the people in Germany speaking out they don't want the vaccine. 75% in Finland, similar numbers in Sweden and a number of other European countries. And yet it seems like they're trying to foist this agenda on us. To heck with the numbers, to heck with the facts. Anybody who speaks against it is a conspiracy theorist. So I guess the majority of the people in the world are now conspiracy theorists. But I'm reading an article I just picked up last night. It's posted now on falseflagflu.com as well, and that is with regard to Australia, where their flu season is just winding down now, and their outbreak was basically nothing. And they did not have vaccines. They could not get them available because when this was breaking out in Mexico, here in North America, their flu season was just starting up. Now, I got the report here someplace, but it was something like a matter of, I think, 128 people perhaps had died in all of Australia that they could positively identify H1N1. Whereas in a normal flu season, they attribute about 2,000, between 2,000 and 3,000 deaths to the normal flu in a year. So 198, I believe it was. I've just, I haven't got the report right in front of me, but it's on my website right now. So, I mean, it's obscene. They have no vaccines. That's all that they had of it. And now here they're trying to convince us that this is out of control and we're all going to die.
Well, again, it goes back to the sterilization agenda. There's Agenda 21 is a United Nations project. The World Health Organization has long been advocating a similar thing through the Club of Rome. The Club of Rome itself has published, has written books on this, okay? So you got to go back to what happened in May of this year. There was a billionaires club meeting headed by George Soros. There was Bill Gates and many other notable wealthy billionaires that met in this club, and it was reported in the London Times and the Sunday Los Angeles Times that the consensus of this club was that the top priority facing the world was the population crisis. There had to be a massive reduction of population starting with this generation. Now, this is in mainstream newspapers. This was what the club met. They had promised billions of dollars to this agenda, and that means a sterilization campaign. Now, that's a fact. That's reported. It's very easily verifiable. Now I ask you, how are they going to implement a sterilization plan? Do you make everybody come in and get an operation? But the patent for an immunosterilization vaccine was issued in 1998 to the University of Georgia researchers there. The Athens, Georgia campus of the University of Georgia is also tied to the CDC. Now, this is in 1998. Tested, tried, and proven to be effective. How do you implement a global sterilization plan, ladies and gentlemen? How would you do it on the blackboard? You see, oh, well, make it be a substandard emergency procedure for pandemic influenza? My golly, that'd be the best and easiest and only way to do it, when you think about it.
We only have a couple minutes left there, Dr. Ott, so I'm just going to have you, if you could leave us with some inspirational words, contact information, just in case our listening audience wishes to contact you, cover any questions that we haven't covered today.
Well, yes, just be aware. That's the main thing. You can go to the website, Pandemic Flu Online. All my papers are there. Also, a great website is called educate-yourself.org. Mr. Kenadachi is making a dedicated website off of his for all of my writings and all of the documentation we talked about. Also, don't forget about www.pandemicfluonline.com. That website has got an incredible toolbox there for anybody that wants to, first of all, know what's going on, and then once they find out what's going on, to focus their anger into substantive, nonviolent activism. That's what we're all about here. We can stop this by grassroots individuals being, first of all, aware. And understand this, too, in closing. The word pandemic, the root word of it is panic. They want fear and irrational panic to rule. And if you understand this, that once you know, once you have a firm and solid understanding of the facts, once you have the truth, there's no place for fear any longer. So their agenda falls flat. That's all I have to say.
And also, I'd like to, Wayne, could you also give your website, too, because where you're going to be archiving this radio interview?
Yeah, absolutely. It's falseflagflu.com. And by the way, Dr. Ott has two daily radio shows, one on Republic Broadcasting Radio and one on rentsradio.com.
And quickly, before we go, I just want to say on November 4th, Inga's going to be having an event at starting, doors open up at 6. The film starts at 7, is at Sapperton Hall, 317 Kiri Drive, I believe. And what happens is just go email, check out my website, and get contact information there, and I'll be more than willing to pass on information about that. My name is Reginald Angus Argue. This is Dynamic Health, Co-op Radio, 102.7 FM, CFRO, and I'll be archiving this on my website of angus-mcleod.com. Thank you so much, and have a great day. And thank you for coming on to Dr. Ott.